This is 16.9 The Podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 16.9 has been covering the digital signage industry for more than 12 years, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon and into what stuff means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. You can listen to episodes online, get them off iTunes or Google Play, or subscribe using a podcast app. Whatever way you choose, they're free and there's a new one weekly. The 16.9 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported from the start by Jeremy Gavin and his team at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at screenfeed.com. This week, we look at how the financial services industry is using digital signage in branches, and more to the point, what works and why. Angela Vanderberg is the digital practice lead for consumer banking and retail financial services for Q Division, the retail-focused digital strategy consultancy that was launched by StrataCash. Angela is a shameless digital signage nerd who endlessly studies how the technology is used and the content choices that were made on networks, all the way down to locations. We're talking because Vanderberg guided a pair of very significant research exercises in Europe and then in North America that got insights and data from consumers and from decision makers at banks. In this episode, you'll hear about what the research revealed, why stuff like weather reports actually work well for banks, and how things I maybe thought are gimmicks are in fact worthwhile. Angela, thank you for joining me. Probably the best thing to do to get this started would be to explain who you are and what you do.
Well, thank you, Dave. I work for Q Division, which is part of the StrataCash family, and I am the subject matter expert in retail financial services. Primarily, my job focuses on meeting with clients and or banks to talk about the research that we do, and that's the primary focus of today's call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Manolo, who you work for, suggested that we chat because you did or you led pretty significant research into retail banking and not only how consumers perceive digital in banks, but also how banking decision makers are using the technology. So I'm really interested to hear about why this was done and what you found out.
So I think this is great, and I'm looking forward to talking about it. Maybe I can start just with a really quick synopsis of the two different types of studies we did, and then we can get into the more specifics. So the consumer bank research that we did was through Lewis in Washington, D.C., and we did a 50-question online survey for customers. And when I say 50 questions to understand the significance of how deep we're diving into how people feel about their banks and how their banks communicate with them. 50 questions takes the average survey respondent between 45 minutes and an hour. And the questions were helping us to gain insight into attitudes, use, and behavior of consumer customers of the different marketing vehicles. Then we used WBR Insights to do telephone interviews with executives at banks just to talk to them a little bit about how they see their current use of their digital platforms and their future use.
Okay. And did you go in with some assumptions that you were looking to validate, or was it pretty open?
Oh, no. We always have assumptions as researchers. I mean, spend so much time in the field, it's hard not to notice general trends, and also understanding when you're meeting with banks constantly what pain points are. So we wanted to make sure that we were asking questions of customers and of the executives that helped them understand their perceptions of what's going on versus how consumers were ingesting the overall marketing messaging and how they were using the branches.
Okay. So what did you learn?
In a nutshell, what we learned was that branches are still very important to customers. And the use of the branches isn't changing from the standpoint of who's visiting it and how often they're using it. What is changing, and what we've all acknowledged because we see those articles day to day, is that The branch is no longer a place of simple transactions, although in the US, 34% of people still do use their branch for that. But in Europe and Canada specifically, it's transitioning to a place where people go to have conversations about really, really important matters, which is their money and how their money works for them and what they should do with it. And I think that was quintessential. I think the other thing is a lot of bank executives honestly believe that their digital signage network is building value for them, but the vast majority don't actually measure the return on their investment of their digital signage network.
Hmm. And why do you think that is?
I think because people are still struggling with how do you measure that. And I think those of us that have been in the industry for a long time think, well, this is pretty simple. But I have seen in the last 6 years, seven, the number of banks that put in digital signage, and they put it in just because everyone else has it. And this is not the way most marketing vehicles are embraced. So if we look at, you know, a bank organization in the marketing group, you have all these people who specialize in online marketing, and that's their business, and that's what they go to school for, and it's everything about what they do, and it's measured, over and over again, actually by the millisecond, basically. We have TV ads, which people, you know, have Nielsen ratings, they have research groups that come together, consumer polling. Digital signage tends to get whatever the online campaign and the TV ad campaign are, and it's just modified slightly to fit that medium. And up until now, I think it's been used as a glorified poster holder, but we're moving forward in discussions with banks and the largest banks globally to talk about how do we make our marketing communications more effective, and how do we affect people when we put up good messaging? And those conversations are starting to take off. It is a slow embrace, I think, by the banks.
Mm-hmm. Does it make any sense in a branch to have things like the weather, news headlines and things like that? I see this over and over again in retail banking and certainly other retail environments. And I understand that it's cheap, easily fed content and all that, but I just don't know why it's there.
I think part of the reason why it was embraced and it still is used is because people see it as a way to inject a different kind of messaging into an overall mix of just advertising. Interestingly enough, I had to do a test for a bank that wanted to understand how people are interacting with the screens, and we used the cameras, the QVidi cameras. What I was looking for wasn't what I found. It took me a while to figure out why we were getting spikes in people viewing the screens. And the interesting thing was that I finally figured out, because if you've ever seen one of these reports, they're not straightforward. I finally figured out what was happening. And it was every time there was a spot that followed the weather, people watched it for 12 seconds. And I said, well, that's interesting. So if people look up and they see the weather, then they engage with the screen for a longer period of time. So what came out of that was, whatever your most important message is, it should follow the weather. So whether that's your brand spot or your campaign message, whatever it is, that's the net result of it. Do I think there's importance in putting up news headlines and weather? Not so much, but I think the mix is what helps keep people engaged with the screens.
Okay, so if you just jackhammer them with nothing but marketing messages and calls to action, it's too much?
I think so. I mean, the other problem is right now, the messaging that's on those digital screens is just messaging. It's not targeted to me or to you or to whoever's standing in line. I think that if there was more relevant content to, you know, the people who are standing in line waiting to talk to someone or waiting in the lobby, maybe your engagement would go up. And this is one of the things that I'm working with customers to help them figure out, how do we do tests to understand if we're making an impact? You know, another test we did with a customer who was introducing a gold card was we suppressed all media except the digital signage, and we picked control branches versus test branches. And the banks that had the gold card messaging, they were on their digital signage. They were selected because they were good. They had good customer demographics in their neighborhood for people who would qualify for a gold card. We found that we were selling in excess of 36% more credit cards in those neighborhoods where we targeted the card for those people, against the test branch or the control branches that didn't necessarily have the same demographics. So my story out to the rest of the world is, make sure you're using the right credit card advertising for the right demographic of the branch, because it does make a difference.
So the kind of forehead slappingly obvious thing here is, the more thought you put into this communications channel in branch, the more effect you're going to have.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in fact, the whole consumer study focuses on what happens when we take all of these channels, television, you know, digital, both mobile and desktop, and in branch, what happens when we look at each of them and how they affect each other? And, you know, does that affect likelihood to recommend? Does it affect purchasing decisions? Does it affect research? And we climb out of that knowing that each one of these is, in fact, driving behavior and driving sales.
One of the research highlights that you guys provided me was interesting to me, in that it said in-branch digital signage had the lowest level of exposure, but was the most effective, at least in the U.S. research.
Yeah, so just to qualify that, that was U.S. and Canada, okay. Or were you talking about the actual infographic?
No, the presentation deck.
Okay, yeah, so that would be U.S. data. You're right. I apologize. Sorry, I have so many different decks. Sometimes my brain doesn't know where I'm going. I think we need to remember, you know, television goes out across TV channels, and people are seeing it sitting in the comfort of their home or watching it online. In order for people to be exposed to digital signage, obviously they have to be in the branch. So the exposure rate of digital signage on a weekly basis was about 23%. When we looked at television, a weekly exposure to a television commercial for their bank was 48%. So it's less than half. The likelihood to recommend was 86% for digital signage. What does that mean? It means that when people see digital signage and they think that the digital signage is innovative and interesting, the likelihood to recommend their bank to another person is 86% of people said they would recommend, which is a 7+ score out of 10. TV, likelihood to recommend is 84%. So we're driving the same likelihood to recommend, even though we have a much smaller exposure rate.
And much smaller cost in most respects.
Absolutely. You know, television is a very costly way to get a brand and campaign message out there. It's still very effective across Western Europe, Canada, and the US, but digital signage on the whole, if you look at it from an ROI perspective, is definitely giving you a much faster payback and building your brand reputation, your likelihood to recommend, and it is actually selling product.
I'm curious about the whole idea of digital signage demonstrating innovation, and from the lens of a consumer, why do you think it is that consumers look at screens in a branch and think, okay, this is innovative, I like this bank?
Well, it was interesting. When I did this study a few years ago, only in North America, the reaction from the younger generation, so we're going to bucket them and call them millennials, but they're not necessarily just millennials. Mm-hmm. They can also be Gen Zs. Their attitude was, I actually don't think those screens are all that innovative. However, if you don't have them, I am certainly not going to bank with you because you must be from the Dark Ages. So sometimes we have like this dichotomy, right? I think mm-hmm. when we discuss words like innovative, I don't define them in the study. I allow people to decide what they think is informative, what's interesting, what's innovative, whether it's intrusive or not. What we find with digital signage is if we rank it across, I think I had 8 attributes altogether that I asked people to score TV, desktop, mobile, and digital signage against. What we found is that people do score digital signage the highest in innovation. Now, maybe because of them comparing it to TV, which has been around for a long time, and we look at online campaigns and how we get inundated through social media in our email boxes and on our phones with messaging, that maybe digital signage is scoring higher simply because it is seemingly a newer vehicle compared to those three. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying perhaps a lot of people have decided they prefer it because they find that it is less intrusive. And when we do get the marketing messaging right, we see huge effect on how people score their banks on all levels.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit ScreenFeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that, and then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
You're talking about personalization. I'm curious, when you start to use things like facial pattern detection, like the Covidi stuff and other technologies like that, and this idea that you want to tailor messaging more and more to the individual to personalize that messaging, how do you tread that line between personalization and running the risk of consumers sensing, okay, now you're invading my privacy?
Yeah, so I wouldn't want to be in a bank where I walk in the door and it says, hey, Angela, you know, your bank account's negative again. You know, not really. But I think what we can do, small steps always, right? Because banks don't like to jump in with both feet, is one of the things we always talk about is census data. We already know through the real estate departments of your bank who the customers are in your neighborhood. So at least get the marketing messaging mix tailored to that demographic. The other things we've done that help personalize messages but don't, you know, call people out by name is we can pull why people are coming to a bank for meetings. And when we do that, they're waiting in a lobby to see a financial advisor. So if we know that there's someone sitting there for 2 to 5 minutes to talk about getting a mortgage, then all of the messaging on the lobby screen is focused on what's the difference between fixed and open, variable mortgages. Is it better to get a credit card to do a renovation, or do you, you know, reach out and do a line of credit? Do you expand your mortgage if that's an option? What we're doing is we're giving topics that help expand the conversation so that when people get in front of their financial advisor, we've educated them. We're not beating them over the head, right? But we're kind of helping to engage right. in conversation.
And how do you do that in a way that's not labor intensive? Is it a case of using sensors and things like that to say, okay, there's somebody sitting in the lounge, there's a very high likelihood that's for a meeting about a loan, so therefore run this sequence?
Yes. So we have an app that we've built, and what it does is it pulls all of the calendars And when the financial advisors book the calendar events, there's a field they have to fill in that says why the person's coming. So based on those times, and it's slightly rudimentary right now, but based on those times, then the playlist gets defined as per the marketing team about which assets should be playing. So if we have people waiting for the same time slot with different things, then the marketing messaging changes up. But we can play longer content in these situations than we normally would in an area where the dwell time is shorter.
And when you've done that sort of thing, has there been a way to measure it that, yes, this was impactful, this accelerated the meeting, or this closed more loans or whatever?
So we did do some measurement for one client specifically that had us hook into their calendar feature. And what we found was, and I am only allowed to ever share what I'm told I'm allowed to share. So what they said was that they were getting 19% more business through those meetings, and that they were very pleased with that. So I don't know how much money that generates for them or what 19% equates to. Although if we look at a book of business and the annual report of a bank, 19% lift from any branch would be significant, although we don't have a dollar number to put against that.
Right, but it would more than pay for the digital signage platform and the content created for it.
You would think, one would think that. I mean, honestly, we're talking about almost one-fifth of customers that come in end up doing more than what they said they were going to do. That's a huge lift, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. One of the, going back to the deck you were referencing, it said in terms of effectiveness, Germans were 3 times more likely than Canadians, we're both Canadians, to respond to digital signage in a branch. I saw that and thought, okay, what's going on here?
I think, first of all, we need to think about Europe a little bit differently. In Germany, banks are huge compared to Canada. And what I mean by that is they have branches in the tens of thousands, not all of them, but they also break them down into smaller groups. So a bank can have 10,000 branches, but make it so that their branches are appealing to a smaller group and operate in a regional way. We don't do that here in Canada. But the other thing is when you spend time in Germany and you go into some of these banking experiences, there's no longer tellers, and the bank is there to facilitate engagement and discussion. And they've really started to buckle down on how they talk to people through their digital signage, but they also have a lot more digital signage in their branches. And these zones of activation, we like to call them, are just a little bit further ahead. I think the other thing is when you look at this graph, Canada just scores low on everything, but actually it's not reflective of our level of intelligence. But I would say that we tend to be more like skeptical, and we hold our institutions in a different light than, say, the U.S. does. We tend to score everything lower, and we can decide what that makes us or not. But we are more in line with, you know, the U.K. and the Nordics in the extent of how we feel. Germany is kind of off the map, but if we look at it as a general trend, the numbers in each country are trending in the same direction.
Okay. I'm curious as well, when you talk about experience and the increasing demand by consumers to come in and have a conversation, have a discussion, one of the trends I've seen is banks at least opening flagship branches that have things like lounges where free Wi-Fi is available. You can sit and, you know, do your emails. You can get a coffee. There's a barista in the branch and the whole nine yards. And that seems gimmicky, but is there something to it?
Yeah, I would say there is. You know, Capital One has their cafes now, and it's resonating quite nicely with people. They have one of the highest likelihood to recommend scores out of all the banks. One of the things that, you know, they're working on is obviously personalizing the experience, but the people who are using the cafes are responding to it and they are liking it. And it is building brand reputation for them.
Hmm. Interesting. The infographic that you guys have generated talks about the ideal bank and building a better digital signage experience and boosting ROI. What are those kind of key tenets to the ideal bank?
Well, I think the biggest thing for me is understanding that there's multiple footprints in a bank network, retail network. And we all know that, you know, they don't build them all net new. Many of them have acquired other banks through time. The tenet of how we build a better experience for our customers is about what happens from the second they're walking by the branch or driving up to it until they leave it. And how do we make that experience a wow moment? I think banks need to look at themselves as retail outposts, and that's what the branch is. And if we look at really successful retailers, the experiences they're trying to deliver are not unlike what we're trying to deliver in a branch. So I would say we have to raise the game a bit on how we look at a branch. We no longer need these teller lines where we, you know, pretend we're in a Walt Disney World and we're lining up for a ride. How do we educate customers? How do we make it a better experience for them every step of the way? And there is no one answer is correct. I think many banks are looking to define what that experience is within the type of environment they want to build. So like I said earlier, Capital One is very much embracing these cafes. But, you know, other banks are moving towards other kinds of experiences. And I'm not saying one experience is going to be better than the other, because we don't have all the same customers across all banks.
Hmm. I'm curious as well about Interactive and what you guys have learned there. I was recently in Minnesota and walking around the Mall of America, because that's where my hotel was, and there were Bank of America remote kiosks where you could stand in front of this thing and talk to a teller somewhere or a financial expert somewhere, or even go into a little sort of room with a door and talk to somebody. And there was nobody using it, but then again, that may have just been circumstance. Do those things work, and do interactive kiosks in general, are they effective in a retail branch?
My short answer is going to be yes. And then I think the caveat to that answer is how we introduce it and how we acclimatize customers to change will very much dictate how effective it's going to be and how well used it'll be moving forward. In Europe, like I said, a lot of banks do not have tellers anymore. People go in there and they use it for the free Wi-Fi and the coffee, and they book appointments or meet with financial advisors. But the experience overall of having the ability to remotely link into somebody on a whim who's an expert on mortgages and or, you know, savings accounts or whatever it is you want to do, that is a very powerful thing. In Canada and the US, we're not used to that. So if we want to introduce that concept, then we need to teach customers how to do it and do it in a way that they feel comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm. I would say that from everything you're telling me, that what's really important, if I'm a working for a bank and I'm part of the retail practice and I'm thinking about digital signage or improving what we already have, that one hell of a lot of this is just enforcing some discipline to think about what you're doing, what you're trying to effect, and what do we need to make this happen in terms of technology and budget, as opposed to what you were alluding to earlier, kind of version one of a lot of banking digital signage was just throw some screens on the wall because the other guys did it.
Absolutely. I mean, I still have these discussions today. I have I think sometimes what we have in the banking industry when it comes to retail experience is we have the tail wagging the dog. And what I mean by that is IT and or real estate makes decisions about what kind of communication devices are going in and where they go. And then they say to the marketing team, there you go, feed that, right? I mean, we've all seen it. If we spend any time, I mean, honestly, my yep. family doesn't like going out with me. I stop and I spend a great deal of time watching advertising. I check where signs are. I check the size of the signs, the orientation of the signs. I want to know what's on them. How long is that playlist? And the reason why we're so acutely aware is because we see so many bad examples of when screens were put in without really thinking through why are they there. So a lot of times I try to say to my customers, can we put real estate, IT, and marketing in the same room while we're talking so we can understand why the technology is being put in from real estate's point of view and from a technology point of view, and help them understand from a marketing perspective what we need and where we need it and why we need it. And that discord happens at the largest banks to the smallest banks. That's, I mean, I've met with banks that have 60 branches and I've met with banks that have over 10,000 branches. Same story every time.
All right. You produce the material like an infographic and so on. Are there places where people can find that stuff?
Absolutely. It is on the website. So there's a white paper.
Or QDivision?
Sorry, QDivision, yes. You can also find it on the StrataCash website okay. as well. But there's infographics that are specific to the US. The Canadian and European infographics will be available probably in the next couple of weeks. And there's also the white paper on the executive study that we did that people can download as well.
All right, Angela, thank you very much for spending some time with me and Happy New Year.
Yes, you too, Dave. And thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around for more than 2 years. You can click around the archive and find more than 100 conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9 at 16-9.net. There are now more than 6,000 posts in there about this industry. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside beautiful, amazing Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.